Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And we are at the end of February, if you can believe that.
How did this happen?
I don't know, Jan, but the Rose Garden is opening up here. We've got events and outreach all over the place, all over the community. So make sure that you check the Master Gardener homepage. Past the Master Gardeners, txmg.org/El Paso for a full list of calendar events. You all are not only at the Home and Garden Expo here next week, but you're also at the surrounding libraries.
All 12 libraries.
Oh, my goodness.
We've jumped into a new program that we're calling Public Outreach because that's what we are. That's what we do. And so we're giving different talks at all of the libraries around El Paso. And Master Gardeners and interns, we're going to have a mini information table at each library and then a small talk and some interactivity with anybody that wants to drop by at the different libraries. They're advertising it. There's beautiful posters online.
Uh-huh.
And so that's a new venture for us.
That's wonderful. And there's a national trend to just make these public libraries like incubators, like think tanks,
sure.
Like spaces where people can learn and do and just socialize and just be together. Mm-hmm. And I think that certainly complements.
Well, it really does. One of the talks that we're having at the Jose Cisneros Library, uh-huh. I can't remember the date right off the top of my head, but it's called Once Upon a Garden.
Oh.
And one of our master gardeners is going to teach about fairy gardens.
Oh, very nice.
Because that's what she does. And then we're having family nights at a couple of them. And we just did microgreens and self-watering containers, things that people just kind of subjects that are you wouldn't think are real common.
Right.
But then also we're just doing some basic gardening things for people that, you know, it's like, maybe I'm interested. And then the coolest part of all of that, I think, is that they're pulling their kids in.
Oh, wonderful.
So that's how we, you know, that's how we get them interested in this kind of thing. So
exactly.
They're going to be great. We're excited about it.
Oh,
a
wonderful.
New venture for us.
That's great. So make sure that you check the website for all of your upcoming
Absolutely.
Events and say hello to Master Gardeners.
The downtown market, too, is another place that
oh,
we'll be.
Oh, there you go. Gosh. So it's a full slate of activities on there. And you've been a Master Gardener for several years now, Jen. And you know that a lot of those questions that we get from the public are cyclical. You know,
absolutely.
They're seasonal. Mm-hmm. You kind of see, okay, it's going to come around the bend now. And one of those things we always get questions on are the winter weeds.
Oh, yes.
So at this time of the year, a lot of times you start seeing even flowering winter weeds.
Well, some of them are just lovely.
And the time to get those out was like maybe 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Because once they flower, they go to seed quite quickly.
They do.
And unfortunately, sometimes those seeds are almost microscopic and they're very light and they disperse in the air and they will
powerful
and they will go down to your neighbor's yard so
or from you your neighbor's yard to your
to
yard
yours. Right exactly so just take a little drive or a little walk down down your street and you'll see that there's a lot of maybe the same species of weeds going on right now and one of the most common one is the London Rocket that
London
you were
Rocket.
Mentioning to me and it you can always tell that when it has a little yellow flower but before it gets to that flowering stage the vegetative stage is almost like a long kind of lobed larger leaf it kind of stays low to the ground.
It is. And I have a lot of poppies in my yard and I always have to be careful because the leaf margins are similar. And so, you know, you don't know what you're pulling, but like you say, you want to get it before it gets to that flowering stage. And it is everywhere in El Paso. It is all over the place right now. And, you know, I know people don't want to hear this, but probably the most effective method for getting those things out is mechanical.
Right.
You know, you got to pull them in. And of course, there's a lot of controversy out there about using glyphosate and all that kind of stuff, you know, the kinds of things you want to be exposed to. That's certainly a personal preference. But controlling them early, which means you've, you know, that we go back to that gardener's shadow that we talk about here on the show. And that's the best way to keep on top of it. And if you go out and pull a few every day, then it helps. And, you know, we've had so much nice moisture in this last month. So that's a great time is after it's rained, those weeds come up quite easily.
Mm-hmm.
And just get rid of them as quickly as you can. Dandelions, the crabgrass.
Right. They all start creeping in.
There's a lot of different ones. And I couldn't even begin to tell you the names of all of them.
Right.
I have to keep my weed book handy.
Right, exactly.
Or my plant snap. app where I can, you know, take a look. Is this a weed or is it?
And if you're actually looking at them, that, you know, the two major classifications is going to be a grassy weed, which is going to have, you know, just parallel leaf veins. Looks like a, you know, a blade of grass.
Exactly.
Or it's going to be the broadleaf leaf. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a webby, kind of just a web venation on the leaves themselves. And those are your two big classifications. And then you can know if you want to chemically control it, you can know which chemical to buy, because some of them are selective.
Right.
There's the broad spectrum, which is the glyphosate that will kill anything that's green, even the, mm-hmm. the ones, the plants that you want to keep in there. But then there's also ones that are very selective on that. So the great thing about that is your Bermuda grass hasn't broken dormancy yet, even with our warm days. Still that temperatures are not consistently high enough, and they haven't gotten that minimum threshold to start growing. So if you do want to get into your garden and mechanically knock those out, or if you want
or
to
pre-emergence, even now it's getting to be time to put down your pre-emergence.
Yeah,
to pre-emergence. Help control those.
Yeah, definitely are definitely tricky, because you want to make sure you get that timing correctly mm-hmm. on there. Also, you'd be spending and wasting some money on there. But along the highways, and is also in some neighborhoods, you start seeing kind of like a blue tinge dye that's placed.
Yes.
On
there,
and mm-hmm. that's just an indicator. So that's not the actual herbicide. The herbicide is mixed in with a dye, and that kind of helps the work crews or your landscapers that you hire at your home to kind of indicate that that's been
that's
taken
what they've
care
done.
Of. Yeah, definitely. So that dye is temporary. It'll mm-hmm. wash away. But the main thing is to be able to get that herbicide when the plant is actively growing.
Exactly.
If it's actively growing, then that toxin is absorbed by mm-hmm. the plant and be able to kill that plant.
And when we, you know, last week we talked about garden safety too, and that's one of the things that, you know, if you're going to be using your herbicides, then protect yourself. Wear your gloves, wear your long sleeve shirts and pants. And,
definitely.
And be smart.
Right.
And, you know, and again, that's a personal preference. There's lots of folks that are in a bit of a panic about the glyphosate and everything. And I've used it. I've never had a problem. But that doesn't mean that somebody else wouldn't. So we certainly respect that and people's choices.
And follow the directions on the label. Is
always.
It's a legal document. So you want to follow those directions for use. And just as a personal preference for a home gardener, don't buy more than what you need.
Right.
You know, you don't
just
because
it's on
things.
Sale.
Yeah, you don't want to have to store things for a long period of time. And that just doesn't go just for herbicides, but fertilizers or things of
everything.
That nature. Don't worry about having to do any kind of long-term storage, because the longer it sits,
the less effective it is.
Exactly. You know, no matter what happens, things start leaking.
Right. Or it's like the milk in your refrigerator,
right.
It goes bad.
Right, exactly.
Whatever.
Don't give yourself more work on there. So buy only what you need and use only those appropriate products for the plant that you're trying to
right.
control.
Another one that I'm seeing a lot in my garden is the mallow.
Oh yeah,
the garden mallow, mm-hmm. I think it's called, and it's kind of, you know, I think we also have to stop and think about the definition of a weed. It depends on what, you know. I mean, if you like London Rocket, then
right.
okay, congratulations.
Right.
But the little garden mallow has a pretty little pink flower, and it's low to the ground and stuff. So, but that again is a personal choice. You know, what you want to keep and what you don't want to keep.
Right.
But some of them can be very invasive and then choke out the things that you really would like to see thrive and grow. So,
mm-hmm.
you got to be vigilant. And you know, there's information, a lot of information on our website about weeds too. There's some good documentation. And I've used an app before. There's different plant identification applications that are out there on your phone. You can take a picture, and it gives you an instant,
right?
An instant read,
a good guesstimation.
Pretty, yeah, I was going to say that's relatively accurate. It's not always what I would think,
but we don't want to put.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah, we don't want to put horticulturalists or master gardeners out of business either.
There you go. We can't do that. We've got to, you know. And weeds is a really broad subject too.
Right.
There's a lot of them.
Right.
A lot of them. So being familiar is very helpful along those lines.
Most definitely. And getting control of those and identifying those are the best things. And we usually see it in come spring and summertime are really those lawn weeds. You know, people don't
sure.
want to have them all mixed up into that Bermuda mm-hmm. grass, because sometimes some have burrs or some, you know.
Exactly.
They just make the grass or the lawn undesirable to be around, or they, you know, become hitchhikers onto your pets or to your own
or your clothing.
shoelaces as well. Yeah. So you definitely want to be proactive and take those out right now. You can't stress that enough that it's much better
and easier
to do that. And if you're very careful and if you put a broad spectrum herbicide on your lawn, but you do it in a spot.
Exactly.
Spray. Don't spray the entire lawn. Just get that actively growing weed or undesirable plant out of the way.
And one of the weeds that I think that we all struggle with a lot is that bindweed. I don't know the actual perfect name for it, but it's a bear because it wraps itself around everything. I've actually taken the stem and gone down to the ground to find out where it is, and I'll take a paintbrush sometime with a little bit of glyphosate on it, and so that I can get down to the root, because usually if you go to pull it, all you're going to do is pop the stem.
Right.
And it's right back.
And there's a little root system back intact.
And then when you do get it out by the root, you're amazed at the roots that are on there. So some of those are really difficult. And you were talking about in our grass, you know, a healthy lawn will make a big difference on how many weeds you've
got.
Exactly. It's a whole lot easier to get that milkweed out when the grass hasn't broken dormancy, if it's starting to sprout. But you really have to stay on top of it because it moves fast.
Right.
No, it goes to seed quickly. And we talked about things in your compost. I don't put my weeds in my compost because I'm not ever sure whether something's gone to seed or not. And so I don't need to grow seeds in my compost.
Right. Exactly.
Let them grow in the trash can.
Right. That's a good thing to dispose of.
Exactly. Exactly.
And, you know, in El Paso, we see a lot of folks, we do incorporate a lot of rock into our landscaping,
sure.
You know, in certain areas, and certainly applicable, and there's a space for that and stuff, but sometimes it makes those weeds a little bit more difficult to pull on there. So that's really where you want to make sure that you get the weeds when they are vegetative, when they've just come out, and you can easily pull those out. There's a little, you know, shuffler that you can kind of use.
Loosen it up,
and that's all that you really need, but you'd be really surprised to know how little soil it takes to actually use to anchor a seed to grow in a plant. And you see that all around with Bermuda grass growing in the cracks of sidewalks all
driveway,
over this town. Right, exactly.
Everywhere you don't want it, in your flower beds and stuff.
So a couple of tips for you. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, number one, plant ID. Always know what kind of weed that you have that you want to get rid of. Number two, got to look at your, what are you going to decide to do? Pull it out or chemically control it. Number three, if you do go chemicals, you want to make sure that you get the right poison for the right weed.
And be
put
safe.
It at the right time. Mm-hmm. And your garden will reward you.
It really does. It's
you can send us all of your thank you notes.
Exactly. Yeah. and it's about consistency.
Yeah.
And because when you let it go, then you're in trouble.
Yes, exactly. And we're almost in trouble here because we're almost out of time.
Again.
But we want to thank you all for listening to today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jen Petterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.